me great pleasure to announce Georgia L. from Santa Maria.
Georgia L., alcoholic. I was doing fine right now till somebody's... Nah, never mind. Never mind. All right, well, I started drinking at age 5 years old. And my parents were... my mom, very good-looking woman.
Like you.
She's from... Thank you.
Aww.
She's from... She was raised in San Antonio, Texas, and she had a bunch of siblings, and her parents decided to put her in a foster home. And, she, you know, she was making tortillas at age 5 and got molested at age 5. And that's where I come in. I was age 5 and was molested. My parents used to have parties all the time, and... they were watching their kids, you know, and, you know, we always had, every weekend we had mariachis and conjuntos and, you know, loose women and my dad, yeah, my dad, I didn't know about loose women then, but my dad liked to womanize and, you know, I couldn't understand how my mom would stay with a man that would hit her and degrade her and, you know, be the way he was with her. She was just a beautiful, beautiful woman. She sang. We used to go to parties, and my mom used to sing. She had that kind of a voice, and she made records before with her first husband, and we never got to hear him because my dad was a very jealous man. He would have her go up there and sing, and then he would knock her around afterwards, and I was the only kid, because all the kids went in the room. I was the only kid that tried to stop it all the time. And, you know, and everybody else would be hiding. So I saw the drinking, and I saw my dad using, and, you know, popping pills and all this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have respect for it. But it's just the drugs is part of my story as well. A big part of my story. And, you know, it started alcohol when I was little, because I wanted to escape the pain that I was feeling in my heart, you know, and I didn't want to feel what I wanted, what was happening in my home. You know, all these little kids would come over and stuff, and I didn't want them to come over because I was afraid my dad's going to do something stupid, because I used to go to the kids' house, and it was all nice. You know, the little white kids would have everything all nice and everything, and, you know, and and they would have like the perfect parents and the like you know, the Barbie mom and, you know, hot mom, and I didn't know it then, but their moms were pretty hot then. And you know, something, you know, when I was born, my mom had said I was born with, I came out fist first, and I thought it was a joke for a long time. She says, no, you did. Came out, you're the only kid out of 12 that came out fist first. And I've always been a fighter, you know, my whole life. And you know, I didn't like this anger, but it just came out. It just came out, and I drank for a long time, and I went to school, and I used to steal the bottles of my parents, because we had a little bar in our house that was built into the house, and we had a 9-bedroom home. You know, my dad was a landscaper, and he cheated people out of a lot of stuff, and that's who he was, you know, but then I didn't know anything until when he passed away. And myself and my, out of 12 of us, myself and my brother were the only kids that every time we got in trouble, we got our asses kicked all the time. Sorry, cussed. Sorry, God. You know, I remember my dad putting my brother in the garage. At the time, we were living at some place. And it was the garage, we were living like right by a creek, and there's rats in that garage, and my brother was locked in the garage, and I would see his little face and stuff, and I'd get so mad, and, you know, and he would be crying right there, and it killed me. It hurt me then, and I didn't want to feel it. More feelings, you know. I had to be the tough one in the family, so I thought, you know. And there's other siblings older than me, but I was always the one that my mom and dad said, take care of your sisters when they're out there, And I did. I got in many fights because of them. Guys grabbing their asses and everything else. And I always had either a black eye or a busted lip, but you should have seen them. I didn't know how it was to be normal. I thought that was normal. I thought drinking and using were normal, you know, and, I found out my dad had cheated on my mom with her two best friends and their sisters, and they had kids, and I met the kids at a party, and they're all like, hey, let me see a picture of your dad, and so they showed me it was my dad. I was pissed. How dare you, you know, come to my house, you know, and I got into it with those two ladies. They called the cops, and I got arrested. And because they were my sisters, and I'm all like, great. And did I want to tell my mom? Hell yeah, I want to tell my mom. But I didn't want to break up that family because she loved this man no matter what. No matter what he did, she loved this man. And this is her second marriage. And her first husband was a good man, but she didn't want good. She liked the bad boys. It's just like me. I like the bad girls. That's what it is for me. And I don't know what nice is. I don't. And, I struggled my whole life, and I knew I had a problem at a young age because my friends were out there playing and stuff, and I'd smell like alcohol, you know, at a little kid, smelling like alcohol. And I'm all like, how come these kids are not drinking, you know? So I thought it was a Mexican thing. I thought that's the way we're supposed to be, you know. And, we had many parties and many people, and, and then I started doing drugs at age 11 at school, you know, reds, whites, Christmas trees, all this acid. Yeah, that's why I'm not normal. That's it. So, I try to be the best kid I can. My grades were F-O's. That's my grade. And my parents used to always come to the school, and they're all like, we're calling for Georgia again, you know. And my parents would go down there, and my dad would say, wait till you get home. And I already knew it, you know. And I got accustomed to him hitting me. It didn't hurt anymore. And that's what pissed him off. You know, the hittings didn't hurt anymore. You know, my dad was so, you know, he'd like for us to drink when he drank on the weekends. But if I drank during the week, man, he would have a fit. You know, yeah, you drunk and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't understand that either. And I remember we all went to bed. My dad, you know, had a hard day. And so all of his kids were asleep. And I snuck out of the window because, you know, that's what we do. And so I went with this girl. That's what I do. And we got in the car. I got in a nice car. She had a nice, really nice lowrider. We went, and she got in a car accident. I'm all, shit. How am I going to sneak back in the house? Because the cops were there. Somebody called. We hit a gas station. And we were both drunk. And the cops took me home, and they're all, hey, do you have a daughter named Georgia? And he's all, yeah, she's asleep. Why? And he's all, no. And I was handcuffed. And now this is her. And I wanted to go with the cops because I renew it. I renew this time. That's it. I'm all, how am I going to go to work? Because I started work at age 13 with a fake ID because my dad wanted me to work. So, I got in a lot of trouble. My mom helped him out. And this is the first time she ever hit me the way she did. And I renew that. Whatever her and I had, it was no more for me, you know. She always backed up my dad. I always had to go into the room real quick when he got home. And that's just the way it was. Dinner was dinner. You missed it, that's it for you, you know. You had to eat everything on the plate, everything. Even though you had lima beans, I got used to. Lentil beans, I didn't get used to. I don't like those to this day. So I don't know what else. I thought it was 8 o'clock already. I drank a lot, and I, a lot of relationships, a lot of relationships. I use the word love, and I was stuck with that person. They would follow me around. I'm like, how in the hell am I going to get rid of this one? Because I was living with somebody else. That's just what I did. And or I would leave the house when I met somebody, and I leave all my belongings behind. So that's what I did. You know? I changed jobs, too, so they don't find me. So they would go to my parents' house, and my mom, poor my mom, if you're going to be like this, you need to stay with one person. I said, okay. But it didn't happen. I went to church. You know, my parents always went to church on Christmas, no matter what, you know, and we'd have the party and everything, and afterwards, and we'd go to church, and my dad would always say, wherever you're at, make sure you're here for your mom. Yeah, I was there, I was drunk. And the pastor just looked at me, and he's just like so disgusted with me, smelling like alcohol and just nasty, and bringing some trashy person with me. Oh, look what I met, you know. Yeah, my parents. And my dad would be saying, yeah. You know, my mom would be disgusted. My dad would say, bring them over, you know. And yeah, so that's how my life was. And there's more to it. As a kid, you know, I had a brother. It was his firstborn, which I found out that I thought I was his child at age 17. My sister thought, you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. He's not your dad. A man that I was afraid of, a man that hit me, and a man that taught me how to walk and talk and everything else, he wasn't my dad anymore. And so I had gone to juvenile hall, and he came there to talk to me, and I didn't want to talk to him. And ever since that, we didn't have a good relationship at all. I mean, we kind of did, even though I got hit. But now I think of it, now because of these rooms, he did the best he can for what he had. You know, he was raising other children that weren't his. You know, I thought we were all his, and we're not. Four of them are out of 12. My mom had been married. She had messed around. I'm the one that came out of that mess around. And then she got married again. So that's how she had all her 12 kids. And, you know, I remember her waiting up at night. All the kids were at home, and I would be the one coming at 4 or 5 in the morning. Sometimes she'd be in the living room, and I'd go behind her. I snuck in this time. I'm all good. She's asleep. And I look, and she would be, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, back in the day they had the television, they have the flag early in the morning. Yeah. You know, my mom would be there saluting that flag, boy, proud, you know, Tejana, just that. And I kept thinking, what is she like that flag for, you know? But she's always liked the red, white, and blue flag, you know, and we always had it up. You know, we're Mexicans, we had this big old flag up, and she always honored that. My dad didn't. He always put his flag up there, but my mom always honored it, and she says, no matter how this world is, you can make the world how you want it. I didn't understand it until I came in here. What, you know, the little sayings that she had, now I understand. I was so mad at her because one time I just told her, because my dad had passed away, and I already had been moved out of the house, in and out, and a bunch of relationships, and he had passed away, and he had called me. My sister moved him out of the 9-bedroom house. She moved him to Sylmore, and we had gone to Sylmore, and and I was mad because, you know, I was in my drunken mode. I'm going to take care of mom, you know, when you're, well, this alcoholic. I'm going to take care of the world, you know. I'm going to take care of her. I was never there for her. You know, when she was sick, she's diabetic, and she was diabetic ever since she was a little kid. And she was always shooting insulin. And she didn't take care of herself and when she was getting older. So then my dad got diabetes fast, and he passed away. He lost his leg, and then he passed away. But before that, day before that, they wanted all of us to come down. So we all came down, and of course I was drinking and using in the truck and drove all the way to Sylmore because I could do that, you know. And he had called me in the room, and he forgot all his kids' name, but he didn't forget my name. He just held my hand like he used to always hold it like that, and he just said, hey, I'm sorry for everything I've put you through and that I didn't believe you, and you know, I hope you become the strong woman that I try to make you be. And he died. I went to work, and they called me, and they said he had passed away. So now the funeral. We went to the funeral, and we went in a limo. You know, there's booze in that limo. And I said to myself, I'm not going to drink, but I did. I was so drunk in there. Nobody drank, and all the booze was gone, and I was wasted by the time I got out to go to the church. My mom was just shaking her head. She's all, when are you ever going to get sober? When are you ever going to get right? You know, she had this perfect life for me. She had me pregnant. She had me married to a man. And she had me, you know, with a nice house, you know, washing his dishes and ironing his boxers. Because she did that. No, I don't think so. My mom tried her hardest to be the best mom. When my dad wasn't around, she was a good mom. When my dad was around, she wasn't so good. You know, she wasn't so good. He died 2 years before she did, and what would have set me with her is that she died with him. She died with a man that used to do all this stuff to her, and I didn't get it. I didn't get why a woman goes through all that crap and lets the guy beat on her and everything and still lives with them and still loves them. I don't get that. I didn't get it until I came here. Until I came here and I looked in the mirror, and that's who I am. I'm my mom. Nobody hits me, trust me. I don't hit them, but I let people talk down to me and degrade me and everything else. And, you know, the day I was going to Sylmore, and I should have stopped drinking then, but I didn't. Some cars were following me in an X. Of course, I had to take an X with me, you know. I said, hey, somebody's following us. And he said, you're just seeing things, you know. You shouldn't have drank that, whatever. And I said, yeah, whatever. And all my aunts were down from Mexico because my dad, they know he was dying. I didn't. I didn't want to know. So these cars were following us, and I pulled over on the freeway, and they pulled over on the freeway. I'm all, wow. So I went down to 7-Eleven in Sylmore, and they stopped, and the guy came out. And all I seen was he had a gun in my... He said, you burned us for dope. Because I had the same truck, the same shirt, and the same damn haircut as the guy that burned them. And I said, you're mistaken. Is there near me, Javier? I go, no, it's Georgia. So I had to... Yeah, at the time I was perky, but well, that's, I was younger. So he just, well, I wore slingshots too, so don't get too excited. So he was saying, oh man, he says, you know, I'm glad. At that say, I wasn't afraid to die at that moment. I was just afraid for other people, like my dad was dying, my mom was hurting, and I didn't want to be that person that they're gonna be there for, you know. I didn't want to hurt my family in that way. Me, I didn't care about myself. I went through more stuff and got in juvenile hall, jail. I was close to prison. All that stuff I went through, fights with men. Just, you know, that's what I went through my whole life. And I tried to escape that pain, you know. And so I turned around and they had a shotgun towards me. I'm all like, you know, and you see that shit in movies, you know, and it happened to me. And did I stop? No, I went to 7-Eleven, and everybody was looking at 7-Eleven. Not one person helped me, so I went in and I drank like a six-pack on him. You know, on the dude. In the store. Yeah, and I didn't pay for it. I walked out. So I went back to the house, and there was a big old fight. My brother had gotten a fight with my sister, and the cops came over there, and he hit her with a pipe, and it was, you know, my ass were all freaking out because they don't understand that kind of stuff. These are virgin women from Mexico with hairy legs that never been with a man. And they didn't understand this kind of American, Americans do. We fight with each other, you know, siblings. So anyways, my dad had passed away after that, and then my mom passed away 2 years later, and she was supposed to go, and she you know, she was in the hospital, and my sister had put her in a rest home because she says, it's time for me to travel now. And she didn't let us kids be around my mom for the years that she was living there. So all we knew is she brought her back to Santa Barbara, stuck her in a messed up rest home, and my mom was dying there. So what do? I get drunk and I introduce her to her new daughter-in-law. And my mom just said, God. And then she says, none of my kids are ever going to drive a motorcycle as long as I live. So what do? I bring a Harley in front of her. And I have them parked there, and I drove up, and I was revving it, and I had tattoos. My mom said she was just had it. She's had it. And she said, if I could get off this wheelchair, Mom, you can't. So I was terrible. That's nothing. I just don't want to go way into it. You know, and I knew something was up with me when I turned all my life. I knew my life was different. It wasn't like my siblings. My sisters were going out with guys, and my brothers were going out with girls, and I was stuck. I was stuck. You know, and I was, 6 years old, and I had gone to school, and my parents, the school called. She dressed me up with little pigtails, and I had a little dress, and I have a picture of that at home. I'm never going to show that one, but the school called, and they said, hey, is something going on at home? And my mom's all like, no. She says, well, Georgia smells like alcohol, and she's dressed like a little boy. So my mom rushed to the school, and I was full of fleas and everything because I went to the doghouse, and I threw the dress in there, and I put my little clothes on, and I went to school. Yeah, my mom was, she already knew. They rushed me to the hospital, and what I remember my aunt was telling me as well, that they put all these add wires at that age from head to toe, seeing what was wrong with me. And at later on, my mom had said that I have more male hormones than female hormones. So what did I do? I drank over that too. I drank over every single thing. I bought a new hat, I drank. I bought new clothes, I drank. Because I couldn't get that pain of my parents. I carried that for so long until I got here. You know, and now I'm going to talk about when I got here. You know, I tried this. My mom was dying, and in 2000, I got sober for her. And I just heard about Alcoholics Anonymous, and some girl told me about Alcoholics Anonymous, and so I went in there, and the girl was all excited, so she bought me a book. I never opened that book. I went into Alcoholics Anonymous there at the hospital, Cottage Hospital, and never talked to her. They always said, do you want, and I never said, I said, I'm just here because I want to be here for my mom. So the way I stayed sober for a year there is I walked in there, didn't do the steps, didn't read the book, was hating life that whole year, but I was doing it for my mom. I didn't know she was going to die, but I was doing it for her. And I picked up on somebody all the time in the meeting, and I went home with them. That's how I stayed sober. And I suffered for it really bad because that year was the worst ever. My nails were just like clinging onto the seats, and I was just crawling out of my skin. And you know, I was staying away from everybody because I knew I was going to cuss them out or tell them off or beat them up, or you know, it was terrible for me. So and I relapsed in 2001. As I stayed right from my mom, she saw me 6 months clean and sober. And she was the happiest face I've ever seen. And so I said, I'm going to do this a year for her. So I stayed another 6 months. And right when my year was over, a month after, I started drinking again. And then that's when things were going wrong. And, you know, this job of mine, I've been there 29 years, and they still kept me. After the DAA came and busted my house down, and I was in the vehicle, in the company vehicle, when they pulled me out. And that one person that was the supervisor at the time saw something in me that I didn't see in me. I did not see anything. I was worthless. I disappointed my parents because I went through another path. They already had everything planned out, and I ruined everything. And what was left for me? My parents were gone, and what's left for me? how am I going to live my life now without upsetting my family? Because that was like, you know, seeing some kind of expression on my mom. I was looking at 5 years to go to prison. And what did I do? I still did the same crap over and over again. And all these letters started coming in. I didn't ask for letters. Everybody started coming in. I got over 1,000 letters. From who? I don't even know. I don't know. They went to the court and they gave it to the judge. And they gave me probation for 5 years. You know, and my sister worked for the DA's office. And how embarrassing it was for her. And then my other sister says, and I kept telling her, I don't do this stuff. And then she cleaned up my house and she saw all the paraphernalia. She goes, yeah, you do this stuff. And I blame it on somebody else. To this day, she's still not talking to me. She don't care if I'm in AA. She don't want nothing to do with me at all. Nothing. She says, I'm just waiting for you to fall because that's what you do. So out of my whole family, I have two that talk to me and they're twins. Isn't that weird? I have twins living with me and they're twins. And it's my brother that I was there for him for many years, all the time. Everywhere I moved to, whoever I moved with, my brother came along. My sister, she's works for the DA's, and she says, if you get any trouble, I'll never help you through the DA. I'll never cheat on you for you. And yeah, we got that already. So for me to have this job this many years, for me to be a supervisor, it's because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I say that now because it is. For me to have the life that I have today is because of Alcoholics Anonymous. For me to have the heart I have today is because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't think this would work because I never read before. I never read anything. I didn't have to. I threw the books in the trash in school, and I was a little badass. And I drank at school, and I did drugs in school, and I did all the stuff you weren't supposed to do in school. You know, I beat up the cheerleader boyfriends. You know? Well, I'm a football player. Who cares? Bam. You know? And they would be running down on the hallway, and I stick my foot out. You know? And it's terrible. It was terrible. And, you know, I had a quinceañera. But I had pants underneath it. And my mom was devastated. She's like, you're going to wear this dress or you're going to... And so I wore it for her. And I had pants underneath it in my shirt. And I had to pretend I had a boyfriend. And this guy was amazing. He knew. And he says, well, we have to do this for your mom. I said, well, you touch me, I'm going to kick your ass. So as soon as my parents had their first drink and stuff, I already knew that dress went off and it was on. We were drinking in the garage. And anyways, getting back to AA... I was married before I'm married now. I was married before to a white girl, and so I do go both ways. No. And I would have been married 23 years. You know, she got herself in trouble. And went to prison, and I didn't wait. And it came back out, and then we remarried, got connected, and remarried again. We had three grandchildren, beautiful grandchildren, perfect little guys, man. I thought I was a perfect grandma. I was always drunk, but that's what they saw. And I wanted to get away from all that. It wasn't working out anymore. I was married like 12 years. When we got back the second time, and I didn't want to be in that relationship anymore, so I moved to Santa Maria to get away from all the bad stuff. And I bought a house in my addiction and my alcoholism. Who does that? You know, I bought a house, and I lived there by myself, and they tried to follow, and it was terrible. They tried to take my house away. They said, oh, we were married. And then somebody in AA helped me through all that. I didn't even know this lady. But she helped me through. She's a stalker. She was my first sponsor. And she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I walked into the rooms August 5th, 2012, because somebody suggested it. Because when I was drinking, I found myself drinking by myself. The party has gone, and I'm still by myself. And I'm saying, like, what happened? And I heard a voice from across the fence saying, gee, give it a chance. You know, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was a friend of mine named Kim that brought me into the rooms, introduced me to Arlene, Joseph, and everybody else that I've met here. And Richard and Bobby and Francisco. I walked in there for the first time, and I had a problem with somebody in AA. I was there a few months, and this person, I don't know what this person thought, but anyways, bad-mouthing me and blah, blah, blah. So I got so mad, I don't know you guys had rules that you couldn't threaten somebody. So I threatened her, I kicked down the door and at the Alano Club, and the cops came on Thanksgiving and they arrested me. So that would have been a light saying, you know what, AA's, forget it, Georgia. You know, you're not going to get right here, not here either. So they arrested me, and some cop said, just let her go. If you go in the room and you sit there and sit on your hands, don't even look at her, you know, you're going to be okay. And then, was this guy an AA or something, now that I'm thinking about it? Because he said all the right stuff. And the other cop goes, no, bury her, you know. You don't do that. This is AA. And she's like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm all, so this guy gave me a chance. So they handcuffed me, and I sat down, and I did exactly what they said. Me being a little badass, my insides were saying, you know what, just beat her ass down and get over it, you know, and I didn't. Francisco, Bobby, and, oh, shoot. Anyways, I forgot his name, damn it. They came outside because I was pissed after the meeting because I had to leave. I couldn't stick around. So I left and everything, and then they came outside. They said, keep coming back, with a smile. I'm all like, fuck you. You know? And then I talked with Kim again, and she helped me through that night, and she says, just go back. So I went back, and I saw that person again. I went back, and you know, the first time I ever walked in there, there was a book given away or whatever. I guess they were raffling off books, and Bob won the book, and he gave it to me, and I still have that book. It's falling apart. You're not, but it's falling apart. You look good. And I carry that book with me all the time, and I read it, and I write on it. I didn't believe in writing. You can ask Arlene. When the first time I had to write something, I was freaking out. I don't know why. I just didn't want to write in the book, because this is the first book that I ever read. And I didn't have nothing in common with those two white boys. I didn't. But somebody had told me to change the names around, and it was me, and I did. I did that. Yeah. I met my sponsor a couple of months later. No, I met her that month, and she kept insisting, I'm going to be your sponsor. And her and I fought about it. I go, no, you're not, lady. I'm like, what do you want from me? You're not my type. Come on. You know? And she kept following me and talking to me, and I'm all right, I'm going to give up. Okay, you're my sponsor. It was Arlene. She did not give up on me. She saw something in me. She saw goodness in me. And this, you know what? She coddled me for many years, and I needed that because I never had that. I always had hard-ass stuff. I hung out with bikers. I hung out with gangsters. I hung out with prostitutes. They were my favorite. You know, and I hung out with criminals, just plain out criminals, because I felt comfortable. Because whoever I was that my parents didn't want me to be, I got to be that with them. I got to be that with them, and I was comfortable. This is me right here. This is comfortable, you know. So when I came in here, Arlene took me through the steps. And I never seen him before, because I didn't see him before. I was blindsided. I have these blinders that I put up. And she took me through the steps, and the first thing I had to do, powerless. I said it. Okay, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Georgia, and I'm an alcoholic. Yay, hurrah, I said it. But one time when I was coming home from work, because I drive 154, I wanted to kill myself. There was a big truck coming, and I wanted to just dive into it, because I'm an alcoholic addict, How in the hell am I going to have fun not drinking or using anymore? How in the hell am I going to live? How am I going to be Georgia? How am I going to be good in my own skin? You know? Because I used to carry switchblades at school. Did they get taken away? Yeah. You know, and one time I saw my teacher drinking, and I told on her, and she committed suicide. She tried to cut her slit, and it was me. I'm the one that told. Okay, I said it. I told on her. You know, and you know, all these people who reached out to me, I didn't want nothing. And I still do that sometimes in Alcoholics Anonymous. When you're getting close to me and you're liking me and stuff, I feel like I'm not worthy yet. And that's the way I feel. You know, I just feel like that. We went through the book. She ended up my sponsor. She ended up being there for my second marriage or third. And don't ever get into a relationship in your first year. I'm telling you right now, when they say it, they effing mean it. They mean it. I thought, you know, I was on a pedestal when I walked in here, man. I was God. And when I found out I wasn't God, boy, I had to start from the bottom. Because I thought my story was different than yours. You know, I have a house. I got, you know, this. I got a new bride. I'm rolling. No, I was torn up inside. I didn't never fix Georgia. Never fixed her. All I fixed her with was alcohol, booze, and sleeping around. That's how I fixed me. You know, I thought that was the way of life. Until I came in here, it's not the way of life. Not for me. I don't know about you guys, but my life has changed a lot. I'm responsible. I'm in service now. I have a women's meeting going on. It's called No Matter What, and it's in a church where you can't swear. Rats. And that meeting's been going really good. It's been a couple of months. We have from 35 to 25 women. You know, and for me to even go that far, to have a responsibility or a commitment like that, I always think, like last Saturday, like this Saturday, I didn't want to go. I'm not going to that meeting, man. I've had it. Damn it, I have the keys. So I had to go. I had to go. You know, and I've been there before. I stopped Alcoholics Anonymous for a couple months, and I stopped going, and then I come back, and people are like, hey, welcome back. I'm not a newcomer yet, jerk. Yeah. You know, I just felt like I was well. Oh, I'm well now, because you got to understand, I've never been, and without alcohol and drugs, I've never been, you know, I thought that was my well. I got a little bit of sobriety in me, and I thought, all right, that's going to be cool. Maybe I can drink again. But it just, I can't, and I won't. I won't do this. I've always wanted something better in my life. You know, and I'm going to do it, and I'm doing it better, and I'm sticking with it. I have a lot of stuff going on in my home. I have two children I'm responsible for now. Their mother left them a year ago, and next month it will be a year that they've been there, and they call me Mima, and I never wanted kids. If I wanted kids, I would have been with a man. You know, I didn't want kids. I didn't want that in my life, but I they're there, and they drive me crazy. You know, and I have to clean their nose and clean their butts and wash their clothes and feed them, and nasty, I don't want that. And but you know what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me is a heart of gold, boy, because when we're out there, when we're eating dinner, the kids are entertaining us. They go up there and they entertain us with a guitar or whatever, and they sing. You know, they're talking now. We thought they had autism, and we got a second opinion. They don't have it. It's just their drug and alcohol-related babies. So their brain's trying to catch up to. And today the little girl's all, where are you going? Well, you look nice. And I said, I got to go talk. She's all, why? I said, because if I don't, then you guys are not going to have all this. You know, I'm always throwing them out. I'm always throwing the whole family out, because that's what I do. I get mad. I'm not there yet. I'm not there where I'm supposed to be, I guess. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I just know I'm not there yet. You know, I throw them out and they come back. You know, they're like boomerangs, you know? You know, and I'm working on that. I'm working on my no's being no's and my yes being yes. You know, I found a lot of friends in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't want nothing to do with you people. I didn't want you guys holding my hand. I remember sitting right there where Linda's sitting with my sunglasses on, not wanting to even say nothing. I didn't want the girls looking at me because I didn't want them to say, oh my God, she's after me. I didn't want that, you know? And I don't want the guys to say, she better not be after my wife, you know, that kind of stuff. So I didn't want nothing to do with anybody. I just didn't. I didn't know where I fit. You know, and somebody says, hey, why don't you go to one of those meetings? I'm all, which ones are those? He's all, you know, those gay meetings. I'm all, why don't you come with me? You know? But I went to a meeting. I finally went to one. And you know what? I've gone to meetings with all white ladies. I've gone to meetings with Chicanas. I've gone to meetings with mix. I've gone to the gay meetings, whatever meeting. It still says the same word. Don't drink no matter what. You know? And it still has the 12 steps. It's nothing different. You know, the book is the same. You know, 84 years ago today, Bob and Bill had their first talking. You know? And why I know that? Because I have a friend named Peter that told me that. He held my hand right now, and I let him hold my hand. You know? And we held hands, and he talked to me about that, and he loosened me up a little bit. And where do you find that? You find it in Alcoholics Anonymous. You find some true friends that no matter how you look, no matter what your path is taking you to, you have friends that, real friends in here. And I always thought those bikers and those gangbangers and all that stuff was my friends. They were not my friends because misery likes company. And I'm not in that company anymore. You know, for the people who have relapsed and they've come back, good for you. Good for you. You'll get it when you get it. You'll get it when you get it. Am I sponsored today? No, I'm not. I'm not. I have 6 years and 9 months, and I'm not. I tried to be a sponsor at the beginning, and it didn't work for me because the women that I sponsored were like young girls, and they wanted to just, oh, let's go to your house and this and that, and I was feeling kind of like, And then my other half was all like, what are they? You know, it was just terrible. So I just, no, I'm not ready to be a sponsor yet. I'm not. You know, shame on me, but I'm not. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, I have my faults still. I don't do this perfect. I don't. But no matter what is coming up my life, I do not drink over it today. I mean, I have a lot of reasons. My head is saying, you know what, Georgia? F these people. What do you got to show for them? Who are they? Those are people who have been there for me. What my family has never been for me. These are the people that don't know me, who takes me no matter what. And who I've gotten a lot of wording from Angel, from Bob, from his beautiful wife, from Richard, you know, from a lot of people here, even Joseph, you know, has given me words that of encouragement. I mean, Joseph was there one time when I almost beat some guy down because he grabbed my wife's ass, and I was new, fairly new, and Joseph just talked me, you know, and I'm not that person today. Go ahead and grab their ass. I give a damn. You know, I'm living for myself today, and I want to do what's right. You know, I don't know what life has in store for me. I don't, and I don't want to know. But all I know is what I have today. Today I have a belly full of AA, like they say, and I practice that at work. I practice it at work. I practice it here. I practice it everywhere. But when I get home, all bets are off. The bad words start coming out. The degrading, the disrespect, the nastiness, the awfulness. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm not perfect, man. You know, I sent a picture of myself today with my brother, and they have this little thing that they say, the speaker today, and blah, 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 with a name. So I sent it to him. He goes, oh my God, gee, I'm so proud of you. And that made me cry. Because this is a brother that's still in his addiction, who's still drinking. He has diabetes like I do. We both have type 2. And it has come back to bite me in the ass. My doctors, I went to an MRI, and I went by myself because that's what Georgia does, likes doing things still alone. And because I can do this. Everything I've done alone, this is where I'm at here, because I've done everything my way. My way's not a good way. God's way. That's my higher power. You know, when it was time to get a God, a higher power here, I looked at God, I'm all, oh, man, that's going to be terrible right there. I was telling Arlene, I'm all, he's not going to want me because of my path. It says it in the Bible. And Arlene says, you know what, you find a God who loves you, you could borrow my God. And I did. I borrowed hers for a while. And then I got a God of my understanding who loves me unconditional. We talk every day. He drives with me. He keeps my mouth shut when it's supposed to be shut. Not at home yet. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. I don't flip people off today who cut me off. I don't badmouth anybody. I don't stay into your gossip because I don't want that. I want love. I want what it says in the St. Francis prayer. I don't have my book in front of me, but, you know, I want to be loved than to be loved. You know, I want to give love than to be loved. And I want to be kind and gentle and encouraging and all that stuff that you guys have done for me. You know, I would have never dreamt with you people. Maybe with Joey. But I never would have. You know, today I just, you know, if my life is to be single, then it's to be single. I'm cool with everything now. I'm cool with whatever happens. It's because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when you people, I hear you guys. I hear you guys, and the story goes with me. I have a little goodie basket. Yeah, it's a goodie basket. Every time you say something good, I put it in there. You know? And sometimes I throw it out. I'm like, this is not working for me. But my way does not work. If I rely on my higher power, you know, like today the pool wasn't open. I was pissed. So I have to lead at 8:30, you know, blah, blah, blah. I have a time, and this lady's not here. And the lady didn't show up. I didn't think maybe she got in an accident or maybe something. I didn't care. So I went home and I got dressed. I was mad and I was driving over here and I started laughing and laughing and laughing till tears came down. I'm all, what a dummy. Georgia, what a dummy. You're still going back to that stupid little thought. It's not about you. God has done this for a reason. And he did, because I came in here, I got a rose from a man. And then I led. About resentments, how that's an offender, how page 552 I have to read for the next couple of weeks, you know, because when I carry resentments, it's not forever anymore, it's a minute, you know, and, you know, I met some good people. I met a man who I just think he's amazing, Lee, you know, for him and I are different. He's a cowboy and I'm a good-looking woman, you know? And we're different. And then I met Bob, Billy, you know, just these guys, Joseph, Richard, just a lot of guys, Angel. And Angel gave me a ride one time. He didn't like me, but now he does. He told me one day, he goes, I didn't like you, but I gave you a ride, you know? And now he likes me, right? Right, Angel? So if I didn't mention your name today, I'm sorry. But you guys have all been a part of my recovery. A big part. You know, a big part. You know, a lot of men, more so than women. I don't say love today. That word gets me in trouble. The one who I love today is my God. You know, I go to church. I was baptized 4 years ago, and I go to that church. And they talk about recovery. And that's why I stay there, because they talk the truth. And that's what I need to hear is the truth. I'm tired of the lying. And thank you, Trish, for getting me through that first year of my marriage and trying to help me out through everything. And God bless you for that, you know. And I appreciate you and I love you. I love the sponsors who I have. And I'm working with a new one right now that she calls on my shit. Now it's time to be hardcore. Now you're going to be hardcore. And I'm good. I'm blessed. And I thank everybody for coming and giving me that support. And I hope you heard what you heard. If you didn't, there's other meetings and there's other speakers. You know, if you don't have the book, get the book. That book saved my butt. You know, and if you're new and you're confused, then you're in the right place. Because I was scared shitless when I sat here. And I sat with amongst a bunch of people in this town that I didn't even know nothing about. You know, you can always pull me aside, and I ask God every day. I get on my knees and I ask Him every day, you know what, help me. Help me have, give me a word that I need to give somebody today. I've been doing that for years. I don't care if it's one word. You know, I'm helping a guy through at my job right now through his drinking and stuff like that. And he admitted, I didn't force him, but he admits he's an alcoholic and he's having problems. You know, and I just, there's meetings. If he goes, he goes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. You know, I have meetings every morning to the guys at work. And I'm a damn good supervisor. I never thought it would be a supervisor because I don't know how to read, write, and none of that stuff. And God has given me this amazing, amazing life that I have. And do I doubt it sometimes? Yeah, I do. I'm an alcoholic. When I let my head go, I'm all messed up. But I always pick up that phone, no matter how I'm feeling. And I call whoever's going to answer. And I talk to them, and I tell them. And I've always been truthful since I've come in here about me, my lifestyle, and where I'm going through and where I'm at. You know, because once you get it out, it's good. Once I left the doors, it's good. I'd come in here one time raging, throwing tables around and stuff. And Victoria held my hand, not afraid of me, held my hand and says, honey, sit down and I'll sit with you. Who does that? Alcoholics Anonymous does. Would I change it for anything else? No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. Like I said, I struggle because I take my will back. Once I have my will, God takes care of it for me. So, you know, I love a lot of you people here. I say that because I don't have to sleep with you. And and a guy that, a man who I didn't like at all, he, Mr. Know-It-All, Jim. Man, I used to get so mad at him. I'm like, what is this guy, man? Who is he? The poobah? Him and our friends, I invited him to my house. We've had parties at my house, and I've had people there. You know, and thank you, Jim, for always having my back. Always having my back, no matter how I'm feeling. You know how I'm feeling when I'm walking in. And you always tell me, it's okay. It's okay. I don't know if you mean it or not, but it's good enough for me. Thank you for letting me share.
Georgia, another round of applause.